today. Just gonna be honest. I saw you walking in, half of you. So, and today I am talking about the struggle is real. I think the 90s was probably one of the best era of music when it came to gospel choir and even R&B. And there was a old poet of old. His name was R. Kelly. And he said, "My mind is telling me no, but my body." Some of y'all ain't even had the CD. Y'all had the murder mixtape. You had half R. Kelly song, and you threw some silk in there, and you had, y'all know what I'm talking about. You ain't had just that CD. You had a bunch of songs in there. We're not going to talk about what you did with the tapes, but here's the reality. Every person in this room, not one of you left out, we all have a struggle. Some of our struggles are private. Some of our struggles are public. Some of us, honestly, we struggle based off the way we deal with them harder than others. And as church people, here's what many of us do with our struggles. We preach our struggles. You can tell what people are going through by what they focus on and they preach on all the time. Or many of us project our struggle. Instead of you owning your issue, you put your issue on somebody else, and now you've projected your struggle. The whole world is crazy. Sometimes it ain't the world that's crazy. There's a saying that one out of every four people is a little off, and everybody else around you seems off. You might be, sometimes we may be the one. And then some of us are practicing our struggle. But I want to tell you, the struggle is not bad. The struggle is an indication that you want to get better. The moment you stop struggling is the moment you got problems. There's some stuff that I want to tell you may struggle with your entire life. And I know this sounds anti-faith, but the reality is I dealt with stuff from a kid. I'll talk about it today that I'm still dealing with today. But here's the truth. As humans, we get trapped in habits that we know aren't good. We know we should stop. These things have the potential to harm us. But I don't know about you, but I tell myself, I got this. I'm in control. I can stop when I want to, but the reality is sometimes you want to stop and you can't. Anybody? Well, don't even lift your hand. You look straight ahead. You've been there where you feel that internal, I know what's right, but I know what I want to do in the moment. If you ever find yourself in the middle of a struggle, I want to encourage you this morning. There is hope. God has you. I used to love that one of my favorite preachers, Bishop G.E. Patterson, say this: Jesus is a habit breaker. If you can have it, God can heal it. I believe if you can break it, God can fix it. There's nothing that God can't help you with. I don't care how shameful or whatever the struggle you're going through in here, Jesus Christ can help you. Here's a question that I want to ask you. I get the luxury of talking to a lot of people. And I was talking to this one young man, and we prayed, and we believe God delivered him from this thing he was going through in his life. About a month later, he looked at me and said, "Hey, man, I thought I was delivered." I said, "Man, we believe in God, you are." He said, "If I'm delivered, why do I still feel this way? Why do I still feel the same that I felt before you said I was delivered?" Some of you may struggle with the same thing. You may say, "I thought I forgave that person, and I saw them the other day, and the only thing I thought about was punching them in the mouth. The only thing I thought about was I rehearsed all the pain again. If I have delivered them, if I have forgiven them, why am I still struggling with anger? If I thought I was," many of you may struggle with your confidence. You say, "If I'm confident in God and Jesus got me and God got me, he's too big for error and I feel good, why do I still doubt myself?" And I want to tell you this: your feelings are not your identity. Your feelings are just that. That's how you feel right now in the moment. It's easy. And many times, particularly in church, we say things like, "Man, get over it. You got it." Some stuff is not as easy as getting over like that. Before I go on, there's a couple things I want to tell you about your feelings. Your feelings are not your destiny. Your feelings are not your identity. Your feelings are not your dictator. Your feelings are indicators of your internal state, and at the end of the day, your feelings are supposed to cheerlead your decisions. When you finally say, "I'm going to get out of debt," and you say no in a certain season so you can breathe. When you go to the gym, and I ain't got there yet. I done drove by a few of them and waved, but I ain't walked in there yet. When you finally get on that treadmill, your body will say, "Thank you. I still like cakes, cookies, and pies right now. But I'm going to get there." Something. Anybody like me in here? Like cheesecake. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Cakes and cookies. No, never mind. They're just certain feelings. I'm serious, but it's catching up with me. There are certain feelings, let me be honest with you, that may always be around. When you get delivered and you say, I'm going to kill this feeling, I'm going to get delivered, it may not mean the feeling disappears. It means that you have dominion over it. So when that feeling comes, can I show you what it looks like? For some people, there's one thing that sets your whole day off. Something you see, something you hear, and Satan normally sets those things up so you hear them in the morning, and your whole day is shot because you can't get it together because somebody did something to tick you off. Now your whole day is ruined. When you walk in dominion, I don't care what happens, you say, this is the day the Lord has made. Oh, Satan, that was a good one. Oh, yeah, you really got me there. But I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Let me show you why the struggle exists. First, I'm going to show you how your makeup is. You look at the screen here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. You can find it in your Bible, but I got it up here. It says this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus. You are a spirit. I'm not trying to scare you or anything like that. You are spirit. The part of you that God speaks to is your heart, your spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions that comprises who you are. You live in this body. This body that we see is what you live in, but that's not who you are. That's just what the thing. And here's the amazing thing. We put more on this, invest more in this body than you see, than the spirit that really drives who we are and the mind that really drives our behavior. I want to challenge you as much as you Gucci, Prada, and put all that stuff on the outside stuff. I think you need to invest in yourself as, it makes sense, as well. So that's your makeup. Let me show you some more. Your body, this thing that you see, is your senses. Your senses are your touch, your taste, your feel, and all those things like that. That is your body. Your actions come from your body. Your speech comes from your body. Your soul is this. It's your mind. It's your thinker. Your thinker is what you think with. It's your will. People have stubborn wills. It's your drive. It's what you choose to do. And then it's your emotions. It's your filler. There's a difference between what you sense and what you feel. You can sense certain things, but how you feel is deep down on the inside of you and your soul. Then it's your spirit. Your spirit is your identity. Your spirit is your heart. Your spirit is your purpose. The part of you that God speaks to is your spirit. He does not speak to your mind. I want to lay the groundwork first. If God spoke to your mind, he'd blow it. It's like plugging something in something that cannot handle it. You couldn't handle all of God in your mind, so God speaks to your heart. That's why many of you are conflicted, because your mind has certain thoughts, but your spirit says everything's going to be all right. And you say, if everything's going to be all right, why am I still worried? And your spirit says, don't worry about it. I know you're worrying, but deep down, just know God got you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got you. And let me walk you a little further. Let me show you where the struggle and the battle exists. In your spirit is where you believe. It's where you hear from God and where you believe. In your soul is where you think and is where you feel, all right? In your body is where you have your actions and speech. If you see, you have these two convergent arrows coming in on your soul. That's where the struggle exists in your soul, mainly in your mind. Because the natural world is telling you certain things. It's telling you how to feel. It's telling you what to do. And it's coming from your body and your spirit saying, this is what the word of God said. This is what you should do. Let me give you an example. You ever seen somebody and they cutting a fool, or you're just doing something embarrassing, but that's not the person you know? And you say, that ain't who I know they are. That's because what you're seeing in their body is not really who they are in their spirit. Yeah. But in their soul, they lost the battle of overcoming all these struggles that are going on inside of them. Even you yourself, have you ever, just look straight ahead, have you ever done something you know you shouldn't have done? Yeah. And you went on to, God, after I get through this, we're going to catch up a little later on, but I'm going to go on to do this, God. That's because in your spirit, you knew what was right. But your body said, come on, you got it this time. And you had this battle going on. And then you look at yourself like you know better. And it's like you're having this internal, you ever had that internal war going on? That's what's happening. Your soul is trying to decide, am I going to go with God or am I going to go with how I feel? In the sports world, any coaches, athletes in here? Here's what happens. You ever seen an athlete perform in one game? This is a subpar team and they knock it out. And then in a tough game when there's a lot of pressure, the same player you saw the game before is not the same player you see now. It's not because they don't have potential. It's not because they don't have talent. They succumb to the pressure, and they were not able to live out what God placed in their heart. What I want to get to today is I want everything that God placed in your spirit to get in your mind. I want it to get in your feelings, and I want it to be what comes out of your body and not the stuff that we're seeing right now. Does that make sense in here? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, today, you're going to win the battle in your soul. Tell them you're going to think right. You're going to feel right in Jesus' name. Somebody say this, I am righteous in Jesus' name. You got to understand you're righteous. You ever seen this? I don't know. My mom used to say this all the time. And I told him in the early service. And I don't even know who this person was. She said, Jason, they is drunk as Cootie Brown. I don't know if Cootie Brown lived in Winchester, Tullahoma. I know he didn't live in Chevyville. I'm like, I don't know who Cootie Brown is, but they drunk as who. I never even asked her who Cootie Brown was. But you ever notice when people get drunk or they get high or they get to cutting the food when they come to themselves, they get talking about God. Like, why are you going to get high and start talking about God? They philosophizing about stuff. Because in their heart, in their spirit, they know I love God, but I don't know why I'm doing this. You all right in here? And there's this battle, and I'm going to tell you how to win it. And I don't care what you got going on in your life, you declare I'm righteous, and that's how you're going to end up happening. I'm going to walk you through the struggle. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. You can find it in your Bible. I'm going to teach you how to keep it real in the struggle, because even if you don't keep it real, the struggle is going to keep it real with you. We're looking cute in here today, but the struggle is real on the inside of us. Romans 7 and 15, ask me how I know. I'm up here preaching to you guys, but Satan fights me just as hard as he's fighting you. Romans 7:15. Listen to what Paul was saying to the Roman church. And man, Paul spoke my language in this. He said, I do not understand my own actions. We can stop right there. Anybody got to a point in life like, I don't even know what I'm doing. He said, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Anybody ever been there before? Like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I hate it, but I can't stop doing it. He said this, now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it is no longer I who does it, but sin dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. Let me tell you this, your flesh is not saved. It will never be saved. Your spirit is what gets saved. That's why when you get saved, you got to renew your mind that this is how we're going to act now versus letting your actions tell you who you are. You got to keep your flesh under control. All right? Verse 18 says, let's skip down to verse 19. Where am I at? It says, I'm in verse 18. I'm somewhere in there. For I have the desire, in verse 18, it's in there, to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Big. Verse 19 says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Anybody found out when you want to do right? You trying to stop cussing people out, but the dumbest person on your job just won't stop talking to you. I lost my scripture again. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law warring against, there it is, the war, the law in my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. He said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but the law with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. I'm going to tell you how to keep it real. Anybody identify with that scripture? Yes. The first thing you got to do is identify your double standards. Paul said, the very thing I hate, I do. All of us in here got something that we hate that we do to other people. I hate when people cut me off when I'm talking. But guess what Barbara tells me I do all the time? She said, you cut people off. You cut me off all the time. And in the middle of our conversation, I said, no, I don't. Don't even let her finish our sentence. And if you don't know what you're doing that you hate, ask somebody close to you. They know full well. You got to identify what are the double standards. What do I become an attorney for myself that I'm a judge for other people? What are you trying to get yourself off that you are sentencing somebody else for doing the same thing? Number one, identify your double standards. That makes sense? The second point is this. Do not, I repeat, do not trust your flesh. There is nothing good in your flesh. Your flesh is not saved. Your spirit is saved. And your mind, y'all know what I'm talking about in here? I don't care if you've been in church and you just make little communion glasses with your grandmama and y'all been here, y'all, you know all the hymns and you can quote all the scriptures. Your flesh will still cut a fool if you let it. It will. You can be saved and loving Jesus, shouting, speaking in tongues one moment, and then the next moment something happened, and that thing just rise up on the inside of you. Your flesh is real. This old preacher, I just love, he said, old rats love cheese too. You never know. Some of that stuff you used to do years ago, it'll creep up on you. Want to do it? Yeah. Here's what I learned. Here's the honest truth. Never say what you will not do. I can't believe they're doing that. I would never do that. Look at that child. Look, she's just pitiful. I can't believe she would ever put herself in that situation. Never say never. Life sometimes has you in places that are embarrassing. Life sometimes has you in places you say, how in the world did I get in this? Anybody ever been there before? Some of the stuff, the testimony we tell people, that's another testimony you ain't never told nobody. And you keep that to yourself between you and God. This is the me and Jesus version, and this is the version I'm going to tell y'all about. But there's really something that really happened behind that you will never know. Just know it's covered under the blood. That make sense?
Yes,
the next thing you got to do is this. Identify your righteous desire. Paul said, I want to do right, but how to perform it, I don't find. You got to identify inside of all of us, regardless of the evil deeds you do, there's a part of you that you always got to keep pure that says, I love God, and I want to do what's right. If you ever lose that, you're in a scary position. I don't care what happens in your life, but if you ever lose that sense of, I know this is wrong, I know I'm being petty, I know I'm trifling today, but I know what's right. You always want to guard that sense of that righteous desire because that's the source of your strength. Matter of fact, that's the thing keeping you sane. The next thing is this. You got to admit you have a struggle. Paul said the very thing I hate, I do, I'm doing it. But that's a struggle because I want to do right. You can't defend what's killing you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, quit defending what's killing you. You got a bad attitude. No, don't tell them this. But you know you got a bad attitude. Everybody in your family know you got a bad attitude. And you defending the right to be trifling. Y'all know anybody like that, right? We defend what is killing us instead of admitting our struggles. When you admit you have an issue, it's not saying I'm a horrible person. It's saying that I got stuff that I'm struggling with. When you admit it, I can be sensitive. I am easily offended. Admit it. I'm angry. I'm going to tell you right now, I got a temper. And when they tell you that, listen. Because some of y'all like to throw stuff when you get angry. You say stuff, people need to duck, go low when you get, you know that. I'm not saying, no, y'all looking at me crazy, but you know it's the truth. When somebody tells you, give me 2 minutes, give them three. I ain't playing. They're not lying to you. They know what they have. But you got to be honest with people and say, I got a temper. I'm feeling real petty today. I understand what I'm laughing at. You got to let people know. Watch this, what happens. When you're telling people what you have a struggle with, you're not asking them to co-sign with your struggle and let you be trifling. What you're saying is, I need you to hold me accountable. That makes sense here. So when you see my temper starting to rise, I'm going to step back. But I'm going to show you yourself as well. Do you see how you acting right now? And matter of fact, you ought to do it. You ought to be watching a movie. And if y'all see somebody cutting a fool, acting up, you ought to say, you know you act like that, right? No, not me. I don't act. Yes, you. Watch this. I was studying this thing, and I don't know if I heard somebody talking or I was studying it. They were trying to get people to slow down in a neighborhood. And they put a speed limit sign up to say, we don't want you to go more than 30. It didn't work. They put one of those things up that when people drove by, it showed them how fast they were going. They had a greater rate of return when people saw how fast they were going versus them telling them how to slow down. Something happens when you see yourself. When you see how selfish you are, when you see how procrastination hurts you, when you see how your struggle is impacting things around you, you say, I got this struggle and I need you to help me because this is killing me. That makes sense in here? Look at your neighbor and say, admit you got issues. I want to challenge you, go home today. And you can sit down with somebody and say, I want to admit to you your issues. They can tell you before you tell them. But at least admit it. I got a problem with lust. I got a problem with worry. And when you do that, you invite people into your struggle. Can I say that again? Yes. Invite people into your struggle with you. You don't have to struggle by yourself. Because they will help you out of it. The last thing is this. Your feelings are not an identity. They are indicators to your struggle. The struggle is for your mind. Don't ignore how you feel. You can't tell somebody how to feel and you feel a certain way. I'm angry. Don't ignore that. Why are you angry? We have this church, 2018? We started a church in 2009. This church is 9 years old. And I'll be honest with you guys, there's not been one Sunday that I've walked out that door or wherever we're at that I have not been nervous to preach to you. There's not been one that before I walk up here, my insides are just like, oh my God, am I going to get it right? Are they going to fall asleep? What's going to happen? And I said, God, take it away, take it away. He ain't took it away not one time. You know, he ain't. You know what he let me do? He let me preach through it. I had to investigate that fear, and now I know what that fear, you know what that fear is? I grew up around hooping singing preachers, and they could sing, and they throw towels up in the air, and people fall up under the benches, and they get to running in place, and y'all get to laughing when I preach. And I'm like, run, shout, do something. You ain't got 3 feet, but run them. That's the kind of reaction I like, but I never get that. And in my mind, and I love that kind of carrying on, but here's the thing, in my mind, I'm comparing that to that person, but that's not who I am. I ain't tell you not to run, you just laugh. But I'm comparing myself to, because here's the reality is, you know the bigger fears? I don't want to look stupid in front of you. I don't want to put you to sleep. And I feel so strong about what God gave me that I don't want to see the enemy eat your life up through your struggle. That while you talk one thing, we got another thing going on that's destroyed. That's my heart. And I'm afraid that it won't get conveyed. So I get in my feelings. Barbara wake up, she just bubbly. We have a 3DU. We're just glad to have it. And I wake up like, what? She's like, are you in a bad mood? No, I just woke up 2 minutes ago, and she's just talking. I just don't have that personality. She does. She walks in and meets strangers. I meet strangers every day. She don't meet none of them. But you got to come to, why? If you struggle with insecurity and being controlling, if you struggle with those things, ask yourself, why? Am I projecting this feeling on somebody else, or am I guilty for all the dirt that I've done, and I'm expecting somebody else to do to me what I done to other people? I said a whole lot right there. Investigate how you feel. I want to tell you how to win the battle in the struggle. It's the battle for the mind. And there's four things. James chapter 4, verse 6. It's on the screen. You can find it. James 4, 6 through 8. He says this, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud. Remember I told you, if you will admit your issues, if you will admit your struggle, God will rest, he will come in. God opposed to the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here's the process. Submit to God. It's not just falling down and falling out and crying and feeling guilty, because a lot of what many of us think is submitting to God is guilt we're trying to get off of us. What God wants is I want you to think the way I think about you according to the word. So God, I'm going to submit to your thought process for my life. Then you got to resist the devil. Resist the devil means I refuse to think according to his thought patterns. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm not going to walk in condemnation. I'm going to think according to the way God thinks. Then I got to draw near to God. You got to accept. This is what God says. You know what drawing near to God is? It's fellowshipping with him. Anybody ever had a song in your head that you hated but couldn't stop singing it? Yeah. That song, Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nene, all that, when it was out, the first couple months, it was fine. I said, Isaiah, if you play that song one more time, because it was in my, he was just all over the place. I said, I don't want to hear it no more. I'm driving down the road. They are not in the car. Guess what I'm sitting there singing? I hated myself for about 5 minutes. It might just ever get to a point where you wouldn't speak to yourself. I'm mad at you right now. I was that mad at myself. Singing this thing. Here's what happens. When you put the word, if you can't read a whole chapter, if you start the day with a verse and get that in your spirit, over time it will come back up. You have no idea. Something that's said today, a scripture will come up. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Submit yourself to God, because your intake is important to you drawing near to God. In a certain season of my life when I was trying to stop looking at pornography and certain things like that, I had to watch it. Jay-Z and them had them videos out. They had all the girls, this before I met Barbara, they had all the girls in there dancing and stuff like that. I had to caveat, you know what I'm saying? See, you know, I'm sitting there at home. I'm sitting here, it's summertime, and they did videos, and I'm walking across campus like, Jesus. Yeah, you know, all this stuff. I had to cut. Not for real. You got to monitor. I'm serious. You're not playing. Like, you got to monitor your intake. And I remember that. Anybody remember Freak Nick? And y'all go. Y'all got videos still. Anyway. Freak Nick. It was in Atlanta. That's what I'm talking about. That don't happen no more. And I said, listen, look at me. They said, Jesus, this is not where I need to be. And to this day, when I tell this story, people don't believe me. My pastor had to preach a Friday night in Atlanta, Georgia, and we were right in the middle of Freak Nick. And we got stopped in that traffic. And for hours, we just sit there and just look. He looked at me, on time I looked at him, I said, "This is a shame, ain't it?" "This is a shame. Look how she's dancing over there. This is a shame." I came back from Freaknik, and my friend's like, where were you at last night? I said, "My pastor had to preach." I said, "Y'all won't believe it. We got stopped. You didn't, Jason, you didn't get stopped in no Freaknik." I said, "I did." Anybody ever felt like when you're trying to stop doing something that the enemy set you up? Right when you're trying to get it together is when the enemy presents his biggest thing in your life. Do you know why he fights you? Because on the other side of this struggle is something phenomenal. It's one of the, if you're going through pressure right now and you're saying, "God, I'm trying with everything I got in me." If you just keep fighting, on the other side of this struggle, the last part it says, God draws near to you. What God does, he come and pick you up. He rescues you. And he sets your feet on solid ground. You know what they say? He will pick you up, turn you around. That's God drawing near to you. And in your weakest moments, God said, "I got you. I'll bring you through. The struggle will not get the best of you." But many of you in your moment, you say, "God, I done fail." Donna McClurkin said, "We fall down and we get back up. God, I'm not sure I want to get up. It's good down here." If you tell the truth, sin feel good when you're in it. It felt good when you were doing certain things, but then you realize, "I need your help." God said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, but God delivered them out of them all." I don't care what you in, God can get you out of it. I don't care what struggle you're going through. There's nothing God won't deliver you from. If you can have it, God can heal it. God can bring you out of it. I am a living witness. Is there anybody in here that know that God can deliver you from some mess? Can I give you about 30 seconds to testify and thank God that you delivered me? You set me free. I struggle with some stuff, but God, thank you. I dare you to look back and say, "God, thank you for where you brought me from. Thank you for what you've done in my life." Some of you, you know, you're not necessarily where you want to be. But oh, if you look back over your shoulder, and if you just think of the goodness of Jesus and where he has brought you, I ain't there yet, but be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Some of you just don't know. Y'all, you're cute. We dressed up in here. Some of you don't know the half of the struggle. But behind all this swag, behind all this sauce, you just dripping everywhere. People don't know. I'm serious. I learned that word last week. There's a story behind it. No, it is. All these couples you see walking up, holding hands, and everybody going on vacations, and all, there's a story behind it. There's a struggle behind every successful person. We celebrate people on the mountaintop. You didn't see them when they were in the valley. You didn't see them when they were grinding. You didn't see the mistakes. And part of that is God covering us. But I want to tell you today, and I'm through, God will keep you in the struggle. Don't you let your past, don't you let your feelings tell you who you are. Your feelings are an indication of the struggle. They're not your identity. And I want to tell you in here today, I don't care what you're dealing with, God can deliver you. He can return your natural desire that's been perverted. He can turn your affection back to where it should be. He can make married couples fall back in love with each other. He can just get all the hell and all that stuff. God can get it out of you. And he can help you in the middle of your struggle. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet. I'll do with that. Bow your head for a moment. One of the biggest things that